Chapter 21. My eyes flew wide open at the sight of dozens of macabre junk spiders the size of manhole covers skittering toward us on their 8 freaky legs, and I shuddered as an icy claw dragged its way down my spine. Nothing should have that many legs and eyes, and my old fear, extreme dislike of arachnids, came roaring to the surface to play out a recurring nightmare I'd had since I was 5. Granted, working on the farm for several years helped me get over my EDOA pretty quickly. There were all types of spiders to look out for in woodpiles, like widows and recluses, and after trapping a few hundred wolf spiders single-handedly, the sight of something that fast, hairy, and multi-legged usually didn't bother me anymore. But I also never had to deal with spiders this large outside of my nightmares before. So I gave myself a break for the prepubescent screech in my voice when I yelled, "What the fuck are those?" I slashed at the leg of the nearest spider, and the crap its leg was cobbled from exploded in a spray of thrift store shrapnel.
"Ugh, we must have tripped a trap enchantment,"
Anwar said, and kicked at another trash spider who was getting too curious, with fangs made of jagged shards of mirror.
"No shit!"
I hacked at another spider on my left, and a weird rattling hiss I didn't think was even possible sounded from the maimed junk creature. The trash spider tucked its stump of a leg back toward its body, where more of the junk that was holding it together reformed the appendage as if I'd never cut it off in the first place. Oh, fuck, no. It shrieked like a possessed car trying to turn over on a dead starter.
"Run!"
I shouted, and grabbed the Ibex woman's hand so I could keep her from lunging at the trash spider as it tensed its own legs in order to pounce.
"I can fight it!"
Anwar yelled as I dragged her in and out of the junk towers.
"Maybe, but what about the others?"
I shot over my shoulder.
"They'll just keep reforming anyway. It's not worth it."
She nodded a short, jerky nod as if she was still torn between walking away and fighting until her foe was vanquished, and right then I understood what Horace saw in her. I was also extremely glad she had my back, literally.
"Ah!"
Anwar roared, and I spun around just in time to see her put her impressive ibex horns to use on a spider that just tried to jump on me from above.
Hiss!
It was launched back into a sizable mound of wooden armchairs with a powerful toss of her autumn head, and the chair mound cracked and groaned. I took a moment to glance up at the way the chair mound was leaning, and I let my eyes do the math. The spires of clutter surrounding the wobbling mountain of furniture were lined up like faded dominoes no matter which way Chair Everest decided to fall. I knew we needed to step on the gas if we wanted to outrun what was essentially a giant Rube Goldberg machine made out of Macklemore's bargain store wet dream.
"Faster!"
I bellowed, and stowed away my sword so I could focus on getting my bearings around the crooked spires. We needed to get back to the spiral staircase before...
Boom!
Chair Everest finally gave up the ghost and crashed into the even bigger mountain of what appeared to be instruments of all shapes and sizes. When that one toppled, it effectively set off the domino effect I was dreading by taking out 3 more towers of various items and diverting our course sharply to the right.
"The staircase is the other way!"
Anwar shouted.
"So is death by horde!"
I yelled back and jumped over a broken-down bed. Great big booms continued to signal the encroaching avalanche, and the spiders screamed out their demon chitty-chitty-bang-bang noises. At least they were being taken care of for the time being, but there was still the factor of us being buried just like they were that was my immediate concern. A junk-a-lanche wasn't a gelatinous cube, but it was close-e-fucking-nuff.
"Left!"
I screamed, and jerked us both to the side, just as the massive stone head of a statue crashed down in our path.
"How are we going to get out of here?"
the Ibex woman asked, as we both helped each other back to our feet. Behind us, the statue's head blocked the way we came, and on our right, we were flanked with what looked like a massive 50-foot-long stained-glass cathedral window laying on its side.
"I'm working on it,"
I said, as we started up jogging again. I could actually see a break in the forest of junk through the multicolored window, and I saw how we were actually running parallel to the railing of the mezzanine. That meant if we followed it for a little while longer, it should lead us to the stairs.
"We're almost there,"
Anwar cheered, when she caught on to our bearings as well and rushed ahead.
If we turn right at the intersection up ahead, the stairs should be right there.
This was, of course, when the trash spiders caught up with us and careened in like a flash flood from the left aisle at the end of the intersection.
Close your eyes!
I grabbed the Ibex woman around her waist and shielded her as best I could with my right shoulder as I smashed us both through the glass. That hurt like a motherfucker, but at least one of Anwar's curved horns protected the majority of my face from the brunt of the shards.
Are you okay?
She asked while she helped me back up.
Yeah,
I said, even though I could feel all the places I got cut, like a dozen hot knives slicing into my skin.
We're not out of the woods just yet.
The trash spider seemed to have learned their lesson with the Junkalanche, so when the rest of the cathedral window started to crack ominously, they slowed their approach. It wouldn't deter them for long.
Come,
she urged, and we wove around the few remaining hoard stacks until we reached the mezzanine banister at last. However, the only way to the stairs from here was completely blocked off by what looked like a piece of hull from a solid metal ship.
Shit!
I cursed, and then glanced around for an exit.
Ch-ch-ch-chess!
The bravest of the spider horde finally breached the hole I punched through, and they seemed to be trying to form ranks to try and corner us.
Alex!
Anwar called out, and then tossed me a thin flagpole with the banner still attached.
Can you vault?
I looked at the pole in my hands, and then to where she gestured with a flick of her horned head. The towers of books, as well as the tops of the bookcases, were almost level with the height of the mezzanine, and created little islands we could possibly vault to with the help of the poles she pulled from the junk.
You're a genius,
I grinned, and adjusted the grip I had on my key to freedom. Let's do this. Anwar and I each stood up on the top of the railing and positioned our poles. And just as the spider horde was upon us, we each pushed off and vaulted to the nearest platform. My feet hit the top of a bookcase, and I smiled wildly at the Ibex woman when she landed on one adjacent to me.
It worked!
She exclaimed.
The creatures cannot leave the place where their enchantment is meant for. We are safe.
Before either one of us could really settle into the fact, a high-pitched scream ripped through the air. Our eyes locked when we both realized at once whose voice that was.
Amaya!
We gasped in tandem. Let's put these to good use, I said, and readied myself for the next vault. The Ibex woman and I made pretty good time leapfrogging the way we were, and it actually would have been really fun if my mind wasn't blaring klaxons that sounded like Amaya's name on repeat.
Amaya!
Anwar screamed out, as we vaulted down to the floor back where we all started, and then cast aside our poles.
Anna!
The Oryx woman called back from around the corner, where the biggest book towers stood like sentries.
Watch out!
I ran smack into Anwar's back and gawked at the sight of some bizarre-looking, snarling creature in the center of my circle of friends.
Black!
It blatted like a trombone with a sinus infection, hacked up a wad of bloody sputum, and ripped a tuft of greasy feathers out of its patchy hide.
What the fuck is that?
I yelled again and slung my crossbow around so I could load it with a bolt.
It's...
Horace said with a disturbed look on his face, as he also took aim at the disfigured thing.
Igoric, I think. Bark!
The monger squalled again, and a set of secondary wings burst from its scaly, ridged back, as the feathered ones almost rotted away and fell to the ground.
Something feels really wrong about that creature,
Amaya said. But instead of being afraid, she took a step closer like she wanted to understand it more. Anwar immediately intercepted her sister and pushed the curious Oryx woman with the odd sense of self-preservation behind her body.
Yeah, no shit,
I murmured, and had the strange feeling of deja vu. Same conversation, different sister.
How can that be Igoric?
Jenner asked, as he helped support a crutchless Tovish. Maybe it was the adrenaline of the situation, but the old archivists seemed way more sober all of a sudden.
I have no frickin' idea, Horace said. That's not how you use that word,
Tovish grumbled and rubbed his head as if it was sore.
Ani?
The Falcon Man asked, as his green-gold eyes flashed toward the Ibex woman.
Any ideas?
The mage rubbed her hands together until they glowed softly, and then she held out a palm toward the creature still contorting on the floor like something out of The Exorcist.
Wait!
Amaya suddenly cried, and went to stop her sister, but it was too late. The Ibex woman screamed and fell to her knees.
Ani!
Horace bellowed, and let two arrows fly at the creature, slavering and moaning on the ground in a puddle of bloody feathers.
Bark!
The creature that was Igoric made that awful noise again, and stared at Anwar despite the arrows sticking out of its hide. Anwar gasped as she cradled her hand to her chest like an invisible force had burned her palm. Then she collapsed fully into her sister's lap.
Ani!
Horace shouted again, and I could tell he wanted to rush to her side, but the creature was smack in between us and them.
What's wrong with her?
I asked Amaya, who was cradling her sister's head in her lap.
This makes no sense,
she said as she cupped the mage woman's face.
Anwar is sensitive to the presence of demons, but there is no red sky.
Bark!
The creature shuddered, and a gross crackling noise could be heard as its bones rearranged under its now slimy, scaly skin. It snapped its now considerably larger wings until a small twister of loose parchments swirled up around it, and with another guttural groan out of its now elongated alligator maw, it fixed its beady eyes on the two women.
No!
Horace roared as he loosed another arrow with ill effect. I fired my own bolt in an attempt to make up for the fact the Falcon Man's didn't even cause the creature to bat a lash.
Breaks!
It shrieked when my bolt embedded itself in its eyeball. This didn't really seem to throw it off course, and even though its eye was now a ruined mess of leaking green ichor, it still readied itself to pounce on the Augur Mage pair.
Fuck!
I said, as I jammed my foot in the cocking stirrup of the crossbow in order to reload, but I knew I wasn't going to be fast enough.
Scar!
Rufus's loud caw rent the air, and before anyone made another move, the gold seeker zipped by in a flash of yellow and attacked the creature with his sharp beak and talons. This distracted the unholy abomination long enough so Horace and I could finally reach the women without getting our heads snapped off by the thing.
Bark!
The creature attempted to lift its bloated and grotesque body off the ground with a clumsy beating of its wings. It was no wonder the beast was having such a hard time due to the fact its transformation had it growing almost to the size of a VW bug.
We have to get out of here,
Jenner said as he hobbled over with Tovish.
Yes, quickly, while Rufus has it distracted,
the koala elder said and gripped Horace's lapels.
Firestones, do you have a pair?
Yes, why? He answered, and he pulled a set of round stones out of his pack that were immediately snatched up by Tovish.
The hellbeast cannot tolerate fire,
he said, and popped the stones into a discarded wine bottle he found lying nearby, along with the rest of the junk in this place. Then he poured in the rest of the liquid he had left in the flask he and Jenner were drinking out of, corked the bottle, and gave it a violent shake. The stones inside flashed rapidly in warning. And with a mighty swing, the koala elder rocket-launched the whole contraption at the flapping creature. It exploded like a Molotov cocktail would have, and the hellbeast, as Tovish called it, roared again and smashed into a pile of books and debris.
This place is going to go up in flames! We have to go now!
I ordered, and Horace hauled Anwar up and flung one of her arms over his shoulders so he could help her find her feet while I took Amaya's hand.
What about the archives?
Horace asked.
We've got everything of use, trust us, lad,
Jenner said, as we all attempted to outrun the fire that was spreading like a cancer and devouring everything in sight.
Oh, fuck, we got company,
I said, as the sound of the junk spiders could be heard racing through the stacks of books.
That makes no sense,
Anwar panted, as she leaned heavily on Horace.
They should have gone dormant. Once we were out of the area.
I've stopped trying to make sense out of this funhouse, I said, and darted my gaze around for an exit that wasn't either crawling in fire or back in the direction of trash spiders.
Horace, we need an exit!
Bark!
The creature roared as it recovered from the explosive Tovish threw at it, and Rufus attacked it again with a fury I didn't think was possible from the little beast. The gold seeker screamed out his little battle cry and then did the most metal thing I'd ever seen. First, Rufus flew behind the creature's head and ripped the bolt straight out of its freaking eyeball with all four fuzzy moth paws. When the hellbeast lashed its head back with a pained wail, the crow moth was waiting in the perfect position to drive the bolt down through its alligator-like muzzle. The bolt skewered the creature's mouth closed, and the shock of not being able to get it back open caused the creature to lose its focus on its awkward flight, and it came diving toward us like the fucking Hindenburg. "Everyone down!" I bellowed and threw my body over Amaya's as the hellbeast flew over our heads and smashed through the library's wall.
"We got our exit, Chief!" Horace
yelled, as we all picked ourselves up off the floor, now covered in chunks of book and shelf alike.
"Let's go!"
I shouted and guided Amaya toward the hole that led out into the corridor with my arm over her head in case there was more falling debris.
"Rufus!"
Tovish called out and scrambled across the floor to reach a tuft of yellow feathers trapped under a large tome laying open, face down. The crow moth clicked weakly.
"Help me!"
The koala elder struggled to lift the huge slab of book off the poor gold seeker.
"Jenner, take Amaya!"
I ordered, and jumped back through the hole in the wall in order to help the old archivist. The trash spiders hissed, and the first of them made their appearance at the tops of the towering book columns.
"Come on!"
I grunted as I heaved the book off poor Rufus. The thing was similar to flipping over a tractor tire, and it was a wonder the little guy wasn't completely pulverized. Tovish wasted no time in bundling up the stunned Chromoth, and we both backed away when one of the junk spiders lunged at us.
"Run, boy!"
the koala elder yelled as I sprinted past him. His poor peg leg just couldn't keep up, so I doubled back and snatched him up by the back of his suspenders in order to basically toss him out of the library.
"The hellbeast destroyed the stairs!"
Amaya caught my hand and prevented me from taking one step too many on my way toward the lower level. I coughed as I waved my hand to clear the cloud of smoke and let the Oryx woman lead us to the right where Horace and Anwar were already half running, half limping, toward the stairs to the upper floors.
"Bark!"
The hellbeast wailed as it flew straight up the conical shaft of the airy and directly toward the ovular skylight overhead.
"Everyone against the wall now! Horace!"
The falcon man copied my posture, and the two of us braced our hands on the wall and used our bodies as a shield right as the creature busted through the glass ceiling. Since the airy boasted a curved design similar to a cone or a bowl, most of the lethal shards of glass missed us and fell to the floor below. Inhuman shrieks sounded as the glass destroyed more of the junk spiders still hounding us.
"Is it just me, or are there more of those than before?"
I nearly shouted over the still raining glass.
"It would make sense if Arcus left the trap enchantment over the entire area instead of just the library like I first thought,"
Anwar said in a thready voice as she shuddered under her sister's arm.
"That limits our options of getting out of here,"
I said, and pushed myself away from the wall when the cascade of skylight shards finally stopped.
"Down to one, precisely,"
Horace said as he glanced over the banister. When I sidled up next to him, I could see what he meant. At first glance, it looked as if the ground floor was roiling like the ocean. But when I stared harder, I could see how it was actually writhing with thousands of junk spiders, as if the horde had multiplied somehow. I knew it wouldn't be long before they regrouped after the chaos and came after us.
"Up it is! Now climb!"
I barked, when it was apparent we only had one exit.
"Up!"
Jenner exclaimed, as he helped Tovish and Rufus hurry along.
"Where do we go once we reach the top?"
"I haven't planned ahead that far yet,"
I said, as I pulled my sword free.
"Alex, try as hard as you can to make a connection with Prosper,"
Amaya suggested, and put her hand back in mine as we ran ever upwards.
"I haven't tried this far away before," I said.
"I'll help you. Just try to focus on your bond,"
she said, and her hand started to glow with warmth. Focus. Easier said than done when I had the overwhelming sense of dread bearing down on me. The best way I could describe it was to compare it to the icy, shivery feeling I used to get whenever I had to go down in the root cellar at the farm. I was convinced that as long as I didn't look back and ran as fast as possible up the stairs, whatever monster was breathing down my neck wouldn't get me. Only this time, The monsters were definitely real. But no problem. I could do this, even if I did feel like an idiot yelling Prosper's name over and over inside my head. "It's not working!" I yelled, as our whole party careened around another corner like something out of the Breakfast Club. If the Breakfast Club had actually set fucking fire to their library after unleashing an unholy tide of hellbeasts and cursed swap meet garbage.
"Think about the bond!"
Amaya shot back. The sickening chittering of the spider horde was almost deafening, and my veins iced over. "Don't look back, holy fuck! Bond! Bond! Think of the bond!" I chanted to myself. "Nothing's coming to mind!"
"Think about the first time you flew together as a team,"
Amaya said, and swooped down to pick up a lagging Tovish around the waist without breaking a single stride. Her strength and stamina were impressive, especially because she was still in her low-cut white handmaid's dress. I realized, distantly, this was not the time, but like, she was hot.
"Alex!"
she said. Sorry, I said, as I hauled us down a corridor and over a bridge that cut across the area as a whole. A narrow bridge, without handrails. Awesome.
"Asher Alex!"
Tovish said, from his place on Amaya's back.
"Not now, Mr. Tovish,"
I grunted, as I tried to beat my brain into submission so I could walkie-talkie Prosper while simultaneously not falling to my death.
"I know you're trying to concentrate, but I would like to point out the next bridge appears to be destroyed,"
the koala elder said in a mild-mannered way, as he pointed up at said destroyed bridge.
"Oh, fuck me," I grumbled. "We'll cross that bridge when we... cross that bridge." "Indeed,"
he said in an amused tone, and I got the impression this was all novel for him, like he was on an amusement park ride and not running from Satan's little stocking stuffers, a.k.a. demon junk spiders. Crazy bastard. There was nothing for it, and after we all crossed the bridge safely, I dug my heels in and willed the canterfly to hear me with all my might. Arcus be damned.
"Prosper!"
"He's a person? My person? My Alex person?"
A voice that sounded like a combination of Jar Jar Binks and Doug from Up popped into my head, and I almost swallowed my own tongue.
"Buddy, is that you?"
"Is Prosper!"
The canterfly beamed directly into my brain, as if I was picking up Prosper FM. This was wild.
I can hear him talk,"
I gasped to the Oryx woman, and she smiled her moonlight smile.
"Of course you can,"
she said, in that unassuming, sage-like way.
"Everything living has a voice."
I couldn't help but laugh a little giddily at this, and then I reached out for the connection again that felt similar to Prosper's leather reins. The bond was supple and familiar, and when I metaphorically tugged on it, I could feel an answering tug I figured meant he was listening.
"Props, listen. We need your help."
I projected a mental picture of the Aerie and zoomed in on the upper lip of the structure carved into the jagged mountain face.
"Can you meet us topside? We need a hasty exit."
"Can helps! Bring Victory, too!"
Prosper said.
"Hold on!"
"Prosper and Victory are on their way!"
I shouted ahead at Horace, who now had the Ibex woman on his back like Tovish was on Amaya's.
"We need to get to the highest point of this place so they can airlift us out of here."
"Can do, Chief,"
the Falcon Man panted.
"However, what are we going to do about that?"
The time had come to deal with the second bridge, and we all screeched to a halt.
"Can we jump it?"
I asked. But when I got closer, I could see how impossible that was.
"Not likely,"
Horace said, and pulled a flagging Anwar higher up on his back.
"Tobias!"
Jenner's voice suddenly screamed out, and all of us turned in time to see him struggle with the bundled-up Rufus as Tovish sprint-hobbled toward the right.
"Go! Go! Go!"
The Cro-Moth wailed and tried as hard as he could to break free and fly to his owner, who was now just a white, big-eared streak beelining for the large column holding up the ceiling.
"What is he doing?"
I gasped. But before I could go toward the Koala Elder, Jenner grabbed me as he was running by.
"Hurry! Back to the corridor!"
he ordered.
"We have to take cover!"
"Take cover from what?"
I yelled, and watched Tovish stop at the base of the column, shuck off his wooden leg, and then brandish the metal cuff that kept his prosthetic appendage attached. His behavior was odd, and I stopped once more.
"Alex, we must get to the corridor!"
Jenner urged me again.
"But what is he doing?"
I asked.
"The old fool is planning on making a bridge by blowing up that column,"
Jenner barked.
Apparently, someone learned a thing or two about explosives and magic just as much as his employer.
What? No way! He can't do that!
I said, and started to run toward him.
Listen to me!
Jenner launched himself around my legs and physically prevented me from moving.
There's no other way, lad!
No!
I said, and tried to take a step.
There's got to be another option! Tovish!
The old man stopped in the middle of closing the cuff shut, smiled at me, and then thumped his right fist over his heart.
Alex!
Jenner yanked me to the floor right as Tovish snapped the cuff shut. The resulting explosion was incredible, and the force of it knocked both of us off our feet and caused the spider horde to shriek and howl. A rumbling, cracking noise vibrated the ground, and Jenner and I hurried to help each other to our feet so we could move out of the way from falling debris. The giant stone structure hung in midair for a split second before it broke off of the ceiling like a stalactite and arched forward. The koala man and I ran back to the others where the corridor ended and watched how the column took out the remainder of the bridge. Then the massive structure rolled slightly before it wedged itself like a toothpick caught in the gullet of the Airy.
What happened?
The Falcon Man asked, as he climbed to his feet and took stock of everyone.
Where's Tovish? He just...
I clenched my jaw, and then kicked a piece of rubble away from me as hard as I could.
Why did he do that, Jenner? Why did he just make that decision without even saying anything? What gave him that right?
He said you'd be mad,
Jenner said with a sad smile.
Yeah, no shit,
I growled, and looked around for something else to kick.
As to the answer to your question,
he continued, and stopped me from pacing by tugging me down to his level.
Listen very carefully, because these words are his last, and he used them on you.
I blinked and cast my eyes down, but I forced them back up again.
I'm listening, I said.
Tobias knew you would be angry at his decision, because you are the type of person who has a hard time accepting the truth of the matter. You cannot save everyone, lad. But the simple fact you try is what makes you a duelist actually worth his status.
He said that.
I huffed around the tightness in my throat.
He hates duelists.
High praise indeed,
Jenner smiled and patted my cheek.
He also said, you are what ashes were always meant to be. And he told me it was up to you to save Aventol from the darkness.
I swallowed hard as I looked out at the bridge my friend sacrificed himself for, and then got to my feet.
Then we'd better do old Tovish right by getting out of here, so we can fight another day,
I said, and the words weighed almost as much as my heart.
Let's go.
Are you all right, Chief? The Falcon Man asked.
Yeah,
I sighed, and marched forward with determination.
We have to keep going.
Alex Person?
Prosper tugged on the reins of our bond as we all raced across the makeshift bridge.
All right.
Hey, buddy. I'm fine.
But sad?
The Canterfly ventured.
I'll be okay. We're almost there. Are you ready?
Is,
my noble steed confirmed.
Also, bring Gelf.
Gelf? There was no answer to my last mental question, and I figured I would just have to find out who or what this mysterious Gelf was at a later time, as the remaining five of us crossed the bridge Tovish made.
We're almost there,
Horace said, as he adjusted his grip on the Ibex woman now cradled in his arms. It was worrying how now she seemed to be on the verge of completely passing out, and I forced myself to push harder so we could widen the gap between us and the spider horde before it had a chance to reassemble. When we all finally made it outside of the Airy, the silhouettes of Prosper and Victory came with a sense of relief tinged bittersweet with the loss of Tovish. Shortly after we took off, it was by the unanimous and unspoken decision that we landed on a small plateau for a moment of silence. I dismounted and walked toward the plateau with my arms crossed over my chest, and the distant screams of the spider horde ricocheted off the sheer, jagged cliffs as the mindless trash monsters threw themselves off the Airy. I didn't know if it was poetic or not, only that I felt a little empty inside.
Most of us don't choose when or how we die,
The Oryx woman came up behind me and pressed her forehead into my back, right between my shoulders.
But Tovish did. He chose when to meet the goddess, and he has met her in the most noblest of halls.
Somehow that's comforting, I said, after I mulled over that odd wisdom of hers. In an existential way, I think. Or like in there's hope left in Pandora's box sort of way.
Alex.
She stopped me before I could get all existential. Hmm? I said, and tried to pull together my scattered thoughts.
What I mean to say is, I'm so sorry about your friend,
she said with a small sob in the back of her throat, and I whipped around right as she threw herself into my arms. Maya, I breathed, and cupped the back of her head as she nudged her forehead into mine. I closed my eyes when her hand came to cup my cheek, and I sighed when I sensed the distinct mingling of our spirits, if that's what it was. That weird-to-know-and-be-known thing that surrounded me like a warm blanket straight from the dryer. That scattering of breadcrumbs in the sunlight.
You must forgive me,
the enigmatic Oryx woman whispered, and reverently stroked my cheekbone with her thumb.
I can't help myself.
Nothing to forgive, I said, and took her hand in mine so I could place a kiss on the back of her hand. How is her sister?
She needs rest, but she should be okay,
she said, and we both turned toward the rest of our crew and quietly observed them. They were all taking this much-needed breather, either apart or together, to reflect in their own way. Anwar was sitting on a mossy log while Horus pretended he wasn't hovering when he totally was. It was kind of a cute sight. For one, he had draped his own travel cloak around her shoulders and stood off to the side ostensibly as a lookout. But from here it was transparently obvious the only person he was looking out for was the Ibex woman. And then there was Jenner, who was sitting rigidly on the extended saddle seat and absently petting the battered gold seeker as he gazed out at the valley without really seeing. We should go, I said with a pang in my heart, and I turned back to the Oryx woman where I felt soothed and held by her calm gray morning gaze. She had a long black feather twisted around one of her flaxen curls, and I gently pulled it free with a grin that was a solid besotted on a scale between smitten and totally gonzo. Amaya blushed and then took the feather from me and twirled it in between her fingers.
Ah!
She abruptly gasped and dropped the feather. What is it? I asked, as I watched the feather float innocently to the ground. What's wrong?
It's the hell beast,
she said with a grimace and rubbed the center of her forehead. When she spoke next, her voice was that strange multi-octave tone that sent chills down my spine.
The feather belonged to the creature Igoric, and I now know of its plans. It is heading north where Ithaca lies, and behind her walls, it has tasted the blood of the one it plans to take like a robber in the night.
Tasted the blood? I frowned as I tried to parse what she was saying, now that her auguring instincts seemed to be distorting her speech patterns like they did.
Shelia!
She gasped, and I held her by the upper arms when her knees threatened to buckle.
It's going for Shelia!